thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So tonight, we're going to do something different. We're going to try something. I have no idea if this is going to work. Now, it worked the first service, so work with me on this service, okay? So what I would like to do, I would like for the children to have memories, and that's why we have the live nativity scene. And if you didn't get a chance to stop by, stop on by on your way out. You can take pictures with your family. Give them a chance just to take it all in, because I want them from years from now think about that when they think about going to church service themselves. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell our children a story, but it's a story that I think is applicable to all of us, and all of us can learn from it. So all of our kindergarten through fifth graders, I'm going to invite to come up here. And if you have a child with you, a parent, and you would like to bring them up, I welcome you to come up. I just want to tell you and give you a warning that you're going to have to come up and sit down. And this is a hardwood floor up here. All right? So you're going to have to sit down with them. But can I have all of the kindergarten through fifth graders and all of the children? Parents, bring your children up here. And I want to bring them up here. And let's give them a hand while they kind of brave it out and come on up here. Oh, there you go. We have a little bit of carpet here, so the first ones can get right up here on the carpet and just come on and sit down here, and I'll give you guys a moment, and we're going to tell a story. I don't know, I kind of had this picture in my mind of being able to, wow, I love it. Look at all the children that are coming. Let's give them another hand. We thank God for each and every one of them. We'll give them a moment to get settled here. And you guys, not only are you going to hear a story, but we have a special gift for you before you leave. We do have candy canes that you're going to be able to pick up after the service as you leave. And then you go to the live nativity scene. We'll have candy canes out there. But this is another gift that we're going to give to you. So as I tell this story hopefully will speak to each and every one of you and speak to all of us. Nathaniel, would you move over there? I'm going to have to open this book up, honey. Okay? The seat goes way down, so you could lose me in a few moments on this chair. It's getting late in the day. All right, the title of this story is The Crippled Lamb by Max Lucado. Once upon a time, in a sunny valley, there lived a little lamb named Joshua. He was white with black spots, black feet, and sad eyes. Joshua felt sad when he saw the other lambs with snow-white wool and no spots. He felt sad when he saw the other sheep with their moms and dads, because he did not have a mom or a dad. But he felt saddest when he saw the other lambs running and jumping, because he could not. Joshua had been born with one leg that did not work right. He was crippled. He was always limping when he walked. That's why he always watched while the other lambs ran and played. Joshua felt sad and alone, except when Abigail was around. Abigail was Joshua's best friend. She didn't look like a friend for a lamb. She was an old cow. She was brown with white blotches that looked like rain puddles on a path. Her belly was as round as a barrel. And her voice was always kind and friendly. Some of Joshua's favorite hours were spent with Abigail. They loved to pretend that they were on adventures in distant lands. Joshua liked to listen to Abigail tell stories about the stars. They would spend hours on the hill, looking into the valley. They were good friends. But even with a friend like Abigail, Joshua still got sad. It made him sad to be the only lamb who could not run and jump and play in the grass. That's when Abigail would turn to him and say, "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Joshua wanted to believe her, but it was hard. Some days he just felt alone. He really felt alone the day the shepherds decided to take the lambs to the next valley where there was more grass. All the sheep were excited when the shepherd told them they were going to a new meadow. As they prepared to leave, Joshua hobbled over and took his place on the edge of the group. But the others start laughing at him. "You're too slow to go all the way to the next valley," they said. "Go back, slowpoke. We'll never get there if we have to wait on you. Go back, Joshua." That's when Joshua looked up and he saw the shepherd standing in front of him. "They are right, little Joshua. You better go back. This trip is too long for you. Go and spend the night in the stable." Joshua looked at the man for a long time. Then he turned slowly and began limping away. When Joshua got to the top of the hill, he looked down and he saw all the other sheep headed toward the green grass. Never before had he felt so left out. A big tear slipped out of his eye, rolled down his nose, and fell on a rock. Just then he heard Abigail behind him, and Abigail said what she always said when Joshua felt sad. "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Slowly, the two friends turned and walked to the stable together. By the time they got to the little barn, the sun was setting like a big orange ball. Joshua and Abigail went inside and began to eat some hay. They were very hungry, and the hay tasted really good. For a little while, Joshua forgot that he had been left behind. "Go to sleep, little friend," Abigail said after they finished eating. "You have had a hard day." Joshua was tired, so he lay down in the corner on some straw and closed his eyes. He felt Abigail lie down beside him, and he was glad to have Abigail as a friend. Soon, Joshua was asleep. At first, he slept soundly, curled up against Abigail's back. In his sleep, he dreamed. He dreamed of running and jumping just like the other sheep. He dreamed of long walks with Abigail through the valley. He dreamed of being in a place where he never felt left out. Suddenly, strange noises woke him up. "Abigail," he whispered, "wake up. I'm scared." Abigail lifted her big head and looked around. The stable was dark except for a small lamp hanging on the wall. "Somebody is in here," Joshua whispered. They looked across the dimly lighted stable. There, lying on some fresh hay in the feed box, was a baby. A young woman was resting on a big pile of hay beside the feed box. Joshua looked at Abigail, thinking his friend could tell him what was going on. But Abigail was just as surprised as Joshua. Joshua looked again at the woman and the child, then limped across the stable. He stopped next to the mother, looked into the baby's face. The baby was crying. He was cold. The woman picked up the baby and put him on the hay next to her. Joshua looked around the stable for something to keep the baby warm. Usually there were blankets, but not tonight. The shepherds had taken them on their trip across the valley. Then Joshua remembered his own soft, warm wool. Timidly, he walked over and he curled up close to the baby. "Thank you, little lamb," the baby's mother said softly. Soon the little child stopped crying and went back to sleep. About that time, a man entered the stable carrying some rags. "I'm sorry, Mary," he explained. "This is all the cover I could find." "It's okay," she answered. "This little lamb has kept the new king warm." A king! Joshua looked at the baby and wondered who he might be. "His name is Jesus," Mary spoke, as if she knew Joshua's question. "God's son. He came from heaven to teach us about God." Just then was another noise at the door. It was the shepherds, the ones who had left Joshua behind. Their eyes were big, and they were excited. "We saw a bright light and heard the angels," they began. Then they saw Joshua next to the baby. "Joshua, do you know who this baby is?" "He does now." It was a young mother who was speaking. She looked at Joshua and smiled. "God has heard your prayers, little lamb. This little baby is the answer. Joshua looked down at the baby. Somehow he knew this was a special child, and this was a special moment. He also understood why he had been born with a crippled leg. Had he been like the other sheep, he would have been in the valley. But since he was different, he was in the stable, among the first to welcome Jesus into the world. Joshua turned and walked back to Abigail, took his place beside his friend. "You were right," he told her. "God does have a special place for me." End of the story. God has a special place. Now, before we leave, sometimes as we live, sometimes we'll feel sad and we'll feel alone and we'll feel like there's no special thing for us. But you have to remember, each and every one of you, all of your children that are up here, God has something very special for you. You might not know what it is now, but you will as you grow up. And for all of us, the amazing thing about the Christmas story is that God came and he used such unlikely people. When you think of Mary, when you think of the shepherds, and you think of Joseph, or you think of whatever, every character that played a part. Jesus could have came into the world with an army that led him to the throne, but he didn't do it that way. And I think that speaks about the heart of God and the character of God, that really he came down for mankind. Because you see, all of us needed something. All of us need something in our life. All of us need a Savior, and Jesus came as a Savior. So whether we're young kids that listen to a story like this or older adults, it's a simple story, it's a simple message, and let's not forget it as we go into this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day tomorrow. Welcome the Savior into our life. Well, kids, we have a gift for you. And what it is, it's a little, does anybody know what this is? What? Rubik's Cube, right? Yeah. Now, what it is, has nativity scene on it, has shepherds and Joseph and the manger. And these were around a long time ago, and I think they're coming back. Now, you can look at all these things. I look at them now, but I made one twist of it. And guess what? I'll never see that picture again. That's it is the way with me. But we're going to give this gift, and we have people back here that are going to give you a gift. Each and every one of you will get this, okay? So thank you for coming up. Let's give them a hand once again. Turn around and your gifts are down there, guys. All right? And thank you so much for coming up.
We're going to continue in our service by sharing in communion. And we want you to know communion just isn't one of those things we do out of the habit of tradition in church. It's something that we really believe is transformative in our lives, that God's presence is here with us, and we want to celebrate that and honor him in that. But we want to share a few things about communion. I got to imagine in a room this size, even though we put on kind of the ribbons and the bows and the sparkle and the glitter and the sparkling lights, that some of us feel like Joshua, that little lamb. We feel a little bit crippled by addiction, crippled by disappointment in life, whether the past disappointments or disappointment you're walking through right now, whether you're crippled by discouragement, that we come to a Christmas Eve service and we limp in, not unlike Joshua the lamb. And I would say to you that that's okay. You see, the lamb found himself next to the Messiah, the babe in a manger, because of that cripple leg. He didn't get to go into that other valley with the sheep. He actually, his crippled leg drew him closer to the presence of God himself. And I would say to you tonight, whether you intended to come here or you accidentally found your way here, that whatever limp you might be walking with, that just maybe God himself is drawing you nearer to him through that limp you're walking through. You see, Jesus intends to pursue you. You see, when we talk about communion, we're reminded of the story of Jesus, where he was days away from the crucifixion, his death on the cross, and he was having a meal with his favorite friends, his closest disciples. And he says to them, Luke records this in the Gospel of Luke, he says to them, "I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this meal with you before my suffering begins." You see, I believe that Jesus would say to that to us tonight, those of us that walked in here with a limp, that he's anxiously awaited this moment to share in this communion with you, that your limp doesn't disqualify you from him wanting to be with you, from him wanting to impact your life. And he says, before my suffering begins, he knew what was on the horizon the next few days. He knew the suffering that was to come. You see, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to take away the sin of the world, not just the sin of the world generically, but each one of our sins, those mistakes we've made, whether we've made them against others, they've been made against us. He came to bring healing. You see, his mission was to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. He said, I will give you life and give it more abundantly. And sometimes our limps try to say to us that abundant life, it's not for you. But Christ says, I want to take your limp and I want to bear that burden and carry it for you. As we think about communion, I want us to think about those things tonight, that Christ, pure and perfect, said, I will carry your limp. I will bear that limp on the cross. I will die for that limp, so that I can bring healing and restoration to you, that when I rise again, when I defeat sin, when I defeat death itself, that I will bring restoration to your life. That's what Christ wants to do. You see, when he was with his friends that night, he said he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said this, take this and share it among yourselves, for you'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this wine is a token of the new covenant to save you. An agreement sealed with blood, I will pour out for you. He said, there's a new covenant. There's this new reality happening in all of creation. The whole universe will shift when I offer myself as a living sacrifice. This new covenant will transform everything. That you can come to me with your limp, crippled by discouragement, disappointment, despair, and I will bring healing and restoration. This is the work of Christ in our lives. So as we share in communion, well, I'm going to ask you to contemplate those things, to surrender those closed doors in your heart where you say, that, yeah, I limp in that area, but I don't want to give that up. Or I limp in that area, but I won't let anyone even attempt to bring healing. Christ is saying, I've desired and longed, anxious to be with you this night.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.